Welcome to Project Apology. My name is Areej Elmi, and I'm your host. Over the next 40 minutes or so, you're going to hear the story of a young Muslim woman in Canada who has experienced trauma in her relationship with a parent. In the episode, you will hear her read a letter that she has written from the perspective of a parent. You'll then hear her provide some context of the letter and share how she is coping with the consequences of the trauma in her life. Before we begin, I'd like to give you a content warning. We touch on many difficult subjects in these episodes, including sexual abuse, disordered eating, physical abuse, and neglect. This material can be hard to hear. It was certainly hard for me to hear at times, and it was harder still for the women to live through. If you need to take a break while listening, do so. And if you need support, please go to our website, www.projectapology.com, where we have a number of resources listed for counseling and family violence. Episode 4, Directionally Mad with Directionless Anger. Meet Nafisa, a queer woman in her late 20s. I mention that she is queer because it is central to the trauma of her life. Her mother doesn't know, and thus cannot fully accept her. Nafisa ends her interview reflecting on this loss, the loss of never being known by someone who is supposed to know her best. Nafisa struggles with her emotions throughout our conversation. She worries that she isn't soft enough or authentic enough. She reminds me of Dr. Adela France, who reminds us that there is a wisdom in the block. Sometimes we judge ourselves for not feeling, and we curse the blockages that prevent our feelings from fully getting out. But there can be a wisdom in this. Perhaps we are not ready. Perhaps the feelings are too real. But perhaps we can learn to see the wisdom in this blockage, and learn to be patient with ourselves, and learn to be patient with the feelings that are too big to feel. Here's Nafisa with her letter.
I'm sorry that I have never and will never be a safe person for you to come out to. I'm sorry for making homophobic remarks about others and for harboring the homophobia I was taught to have by my religion and culture. I'm sorry that you have never and will never feel safe to be your whole true self in my presence. I'm sorry that you'll never feel safe introducing me to your friends or people you date. I'm sorry that I've made you feel like you have to keep this secret, and that doing so has created immense amounts of anxiety, sadness, shame, isolation, and rage in you. I'm sorry that you feel you have to live a double life, that your relationship with me depends on your maintaining a huge lie. I'm sorry for the ways in which this has made you feel inauthentic. I'm sorry that because of me, you have felt unable to create meaningful works of art because you must always be working to maintain a lie, and good art requires truth-telling. I'm sorry for the ways in which you feel held back in your endeavors and life goals in order to retain my peace and in order to avoid the shame that would fall upon me from my family and community if you were out. I'm sorry the life I have lived, the trauma I have endured, the culture from which I come, has not afforded me the space to accept you for who you truly are. I'm sorry that my never having been given the tools to talk about, let alone heal from, my own trauma has resulted in you having to also carry and protect my pain. I'm sorry that you have had to keep my secrets about the unjust and unimaginable suffering I have experienced because I was never given the space, time, or tools to uncover and heal from them myself. I'm sorry that I wasn't around as much as I wish I was when you were young. I'm sorry that my divorce with your dad, combined with the insurmountable pressures of being in school while also working, while also raising kids, resulted in my being emotionally and physically unavailable. I'm sorry for the ways in which this negatively impacted your relationship with your sibling. I'm sorry I wasn't a better leader and that I didn't do more to help guide your relationship in a healthy direction. I'm sorry that I don't have the capacity to apologize for these things. I'm sorry that I can't access or talk about my feelings. I'm sorry that I spent so many years of your youth only able to access rage or anger. I'm sorry for the ways in which this has now manifested in you. I'm sorry for the burden you bear from my never having healed from the immense amounts of trauma I endured. In a perfect world, colonialism, misogyny, and violence wouldn't have existed and thereby led to traumatizing me. It's hard to say what I should have done differently because much of the harm I've caused exists because of forces larger than me, forces that I myself don't see, like poverty. If I could have spent more time at home, I would have, but I'm still sorry I didn't, and I'm sorry for the ways in which this damaged your mental health. One thing I could have done differently was be a better leader with regard to navigating the sibling rivalry and bullying that existed between you and your sibling. I wish I would have protected your sibling better and taught you that you were causing harm by being mean, angry, and hate-filled towards your sibling. Ultimately, I'm sorry for the ways in which I did not and could not show up in our relationship. I did not emotionally show up for you or your sibling as a child, and I don't show up to witness the whole you in totality with acceptance and unconditional love today.
So how are you feeling right now having read this letter?
Honestly, I'm having a hard time accessing my feelings. Like my first thought when I finished reading that was like, okay, good. You didn't cry and you're not. Like, okay, good. I have contained, like I have a very, like I'm like wanting to be detached from the actual feeling of it,
sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like hard for me to access. I feel like I unconsciously, or maybe even a little bit consciously, work against accessing the feelings of what that would have actually felt like, you know?
Yeah.
That's like kind of twisted, but.
But no, it makes sense, right? Because there's this feeling of, yes, I did what I needed to do, which is not let this impact me too severely.
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So the first thing I had you do was write the letter.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the experience of writing it like?
I don't know. I think I was just like, where do I start? Like, you know? Mm-hmm. I have so much resentment towards my mom. And, I guess that was the feeling, was just like, where do I even start? So I just started with the most, like, pressing feeling of, like, I just started with the most, like, present thing, which is, like, not being able to be openly gay. So that, I think, out of that just, like, came the rest. And I guess the rest is all just kind of the same thing, which is just, like, emotional unavailability. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, just, like, I honestly feel like my mom is a bit, like, emotionally stunted. And that's not her fault. But, yeah, that is what it feels like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she couldn't sort of be a model or a lead in that area.
No,
yeah.
Not at all. Mm-hmm. And so I don't feel like I really have those tools either. Yeah, like the only emotion I can express towards my mom is anger. Just like that was the only emotion she could express, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's weird.
Mm-hmm. But it makes sense, yeah.
Yeah, I guess it does make sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So after you finished writing it, so like you said, it really flowed once you did start.
Yeah.
I had you spend a moment really imagining yourself in the other chair.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious what that experience was like.
Well, I did that for like 1 second and then I was like, I'm not doing that.
Tell me. This is interesting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I started to do it and I was like, that's going to take me somewhere.
Mm.
I like, you know, my defenses got activated. And yeah. I was like, no, we can like sit here for a moment and I'll read this letter, but I'm not. Like, once I started to picture myself, maybe even like now at this age, yeah. like made me feel really sad. Yeah. Or like,
yeah.
once I started to picture myself kind of like younger, like around the age I would have been when I was like really, really mean to my sibling. Mm-hmm. That like, I was like, oh no, that's like not even a place I can really go.
Yeah.
Which is, I guess, interesting. Mm-hmm. I was like, I'll just pretend I did that.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Right. But even like you said, like that reaction, I think that's really interesting.
Yeah, it was pretty immediate. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just like you said, you actually did see yourself, and that's when this feeling of, uh-oh.
No.
I can't do it. You need to shut it down.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is like a very common feeling for me, and like I just started going to therapy. And it's like something I know about myself that I do all the time. Mm-hmm. Like anytime there's like the threat of being emotionally vulnerable, mm-hmm. and like not seeming composed, mm-hmm. I do everything in my power to like not allow that to happen. Mm-hmm. It's not even conscious. Like I, mm-hmm. sometimes like wish, or not sometimes, I really wish that I could feel safe like crying or being, I don't know, more like soft, I guess, in my, or like just not even soft, like just authentic, or like even accessing something deeper, like allowing somebody to witness that. Mm-hmm. I think there's maybe like one friend who I have cried in front of, mm-hmm. or can cry in front of, mm-hmm. And even that's like very, I don't know, that's definitely something I'm working on. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, what's interesting there, because you said, I wish I could be more authentic, more vulnerable, so there's this feeling of if I'm not kind of crying or visibly showing the feelings.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, I guess so. I never thought about that.
Mm-hmm. Because you were in touch with a feeling, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I guess I was in touch with it in a kind of removed way.
Okay.
Like, it feels, like I think around a feeling, mm-hmm. rather than like feel the feeling. Mm-hmm. I kind of just like go into my head, mm-hmm. rather than like, and my like therapist is like, let's try and feel it in your body, and I'm like trying to hold it in, like I can't like, no. Mm-hmm. But so yeah, I think that for me maybe it is a lack of vulnerability. I don't know. Yeah, because I feel like even reading this, I wasn't accessing the feelings of it. Mm-hmm. I was just like, it was more like intellectualizing it.
Mm-hmm. So talk to me about that reading then. Yeah.
So I was really nervous about doing it. I thought that like something like incontrollable thing was going to happen. Like I was going to break down, mm-hmm. and not be able to do it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that didn't happen. I feel like, again, I think that I just like go to this place where I'm like, intellectually, these are the things that happened to me. Like, it's all in my head. I'm not, like, feeling it.
Yeah.
And I do think that is a byproduct of the things I apologized to myself for, mm-hmm. in this letter. Mm-hmm. Not that, like, yeah, I don't know. So I guess reading it was not as hard as I thought it would be.
Okay.
Because, like, I didn't go to some overwhelming, like, place, or, like, go to some, like, scary, scary place. I feel like I tried to contain or, like, control, and then, like, succeeded, mm-hmm. in that. But I do think, and I, like, always say this to my friends, like, if I'm if like some really unjust thing has just happened or like whatever, I'm like, if I was white, like I would be crying. Like that's what I'll say, because I'm like, mm-hmm. as a black person, I don't, and obviously I don't speak for all black people, like not all black people are like this, but for me, like my experience of being a black woman has involved like not having the space to cry or like access those feelings. So like, it just doesn't happen for me, like outwardly, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I guess I just like reverted into that when reading this. But I did have a huge fear that I wouldn't be able to do that, or that I wouldn't, I don't know. I was like very scared. Yeah.
Yeah. What scared you about it?
I think I'm just scared of vulnerability in general. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm scared of, like, having a witness to my self, mm-hmm. or, like, my feelings or my, like, hurt or whatever. I find that, like, really probably the hardest thing that I, like, try to navigate in my life right now. Mm-hmm. So, like, you knowing that like you are here like witnessing is like very terrifying to me. Yeah. And I don't know like what the root of that is, and I think like maybe it's like rejection or like just like never having that growing up, so like not knowing how that, like I guess that just being unfamiliar terrain. Mm-hmm. Like what happens when that, you know, it feels unsafe. Like not knowing what happens when a person like truly witnesses you in your sadness or your whatever. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I was definitely scared. But then like once I started reading it, I was like in a kind of more intellectualizing space, mm-hmm. yeah, that I often go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right? It sounds, yeah, very protective, right? Because mm-hmm. these are intense feelings, mm-hmm. right? So, and yeah, that was my question about the being witnessed. You sort of mentioned that felt like the scariest aspect of all of this. This is just not knowing. This is new terrain. Mm-hmm. So having done it now, having been witnessed, what did you feel that experience was like?
I feel like I don't know if I feel like I was truly witnessed.
Mm, okay.
You know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, tell me more. This is interesting.
Like, I feel like I just, like, was the same version of myself that I always kind of am, where mm-hmm. it's like, this is, like, these are the things that, like, have happened to me, and this is, like, why it, like, I kind of feel like I told a story of things. Not like a fiction, mm-hmm. but what I'm trying to say is that I don't feel like I was witnessed because I don't feel like I showed myself. Like, I don't feel like I actually, like, presented my pain. I feel like I, in a way that's, like, more truthful than just, like, words. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I feel like I just, like, read it mm-hmm. and, but didn't, like, feel it, mm-hmm. which I think is just protective. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel like I was witnessed in, like, a scare, in, like, the way that scares me.
So I want to get into the content of the letter.
Okay.
But firstly, this is a letter from mom.
Yes.
To you.
Yes.
Right? So what's the relationship like with her right now?
It's interesting. I have a lot of resentment towards her. I have a hard time, like, being around her. I, like, don't enjoy.
Yeah.
Which she can feel, and which makes her feel bad, mm-hmm. which makes me feel guilty, because I can't, but then it's, like, this weird thing where I can't actually say why I don't mm-hmm. like being around her, or, like, why I feel suffocated in her presence. Mm-hmm. So it's this weird thing where, like, my distance and, like, wanting to be, like, not close to her, like, hurts her feelings and, like, makes her feel bad, I know. But I can't tell her, like, you know, mm-hmm. why I feel that way. Mm-hmm. So often it just, like, presents as, like, irritability and hostility and, like, anger. And I'm sure she's like, what is wrong with this girl? Like, she's so in such a bad mood all the time. And, yeah, again, I would rather her just, like, the other day, actually, she did have, like, this weird moment where she was, like, being very vulnerable and, like, crying and, like, telling me things. But I think my mom just, like, thinks I'm really, I think she's, like, well, I do have, like, depression and weird mental health things, but I think she's just, like, oh, no, she's, like, so sad. But she doesn't, like, it's the same thing of, like, protecting her. Like, I can't tell her why I'm actually so unwell or seem so unwell when I'm around her. And I can't tell her that, like, I'm not like that when I'm not around her.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Because it would hurt her feelings so much. It's like I'm protecting her from, like, the knowledge that she causes me immense amounts of harm. Mm-hmm. You know? Like, I just allow her to believe that, like, I'm just, like, fucked up. And I will often say that, like, sometimes because I'll feel really guilty and I'll be like, I'm sorry, like, I just really need to work on stuff and, like, work on myself and, like, continue to go to therapy and, like, all this stuff. And she's like, inshallah, things will get better. And, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm praying for you. And I'm like, you know, she just, like, doesn't know that.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's her. It's her, but it's not her. It's, like, this greater system that, like, made her her. And, like, mm-hmm. so it's hard to even be mad at her. So it's, like, I'm just directionally mad. I have directionless anger.
Wow. Yeah, that's such a great way of putting it, though, right?
You know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's just, like, mad. I'm just mad at,
like, yeah.
everything.
Right?
Yeah.
Because you sort of, you know, like you said, you want to leave with her the impression that it's not her.
Exactly.
Right? But then it's sort of, like you said, leaves you then feeling this feeling directionless. I don't quite, right, have a place to land it.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's yeah. a tough, right?
It's shit. It's fucking garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it feels very, like, dysregulating. Like, I feel in her presence, like, I'm just, like, oh, like, I just feel, like, so, like, mad, and, like, I just feel so full of, like, such a bad energy, and, like, bad feeling, and, like, racy, and, like, yeah. you know, and, like, when I go to a different city, like, I don't feel like that mm-hmm. at all, mm-hmm. so then it's, but I want to be a good daughter, and I want to be, like, nice to my mom. It's, like, hard. I, like, have to, like, perform kindness and, like, perform. If it's a performance,
that's like, how it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And that, like, makes me sad too, because I'm like, my mom's gonna die and I will have spent, like, her last years being in this, like, you know, I would like to get to a place where I can, like, forgive her without her needing to do anything, because she's not going to change anything. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't really have any hope for that. Mm-hmm. But I don't want to have things be like this forever.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Yeah, so there's a feeling of, yeah, I want something about this to change. It's really difficult.
Yeah, definitely.
And what made it, you know, difficult to live and be around her?
As, like, growing up, she was really mad, and she was really, like, it really, she was really controlling in a very, like, in very bizarre ways. Like, she would tell you, like, one thing, and then, like, you can go wherever, and then she'd call you, like, 2 hours later and be like, where are you? Like, blah, 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 like, she had no emotional regulation or, like, sense of, like, oh, my God. She was such a source of, like, stress in my life and in the lives of my siblings and, like, in our, like, childhood neighbor, like, your childhood neighbor's life. Like, she knew. She was like, oh, my God, your mom's so intense. Like, mm-hmm. Now she's not like that, which is also very confusing. I'm like, I don't... You expect me to, like, respond to this person, but I remember this other person. Like, you've moved past that, but without any, like, what the fuck? When did that happen? It's so weird.
Yeah.
But I think she was just, like, really controlling and, like, mean. My mom was, like, very mean. And, like, I don't know. I feel like she twists my perception of the past a lot and makes it hard to remember things properly. Like, she's like, I never... She defends herself a lot when she thinks she's being attacked. But, like, I'm like, I don't know. My memory of... Me and my sister's memory of my mom is, like, when the key came into the door, yeah. We would, like...
yeah.
Like, it was like that. Yeah. It was just, like, a...
Visceral.
Yeah. And it's that still exists for me in every way. Like, if she's around, I, like, turn down my music. I change completely who I am when she's around. Like, I'm not comfortable at all. Like, I don't sit normally. I don't, like, be myself. I just feel irritated. Mm-hmm. And, like, frozen, kind of, mm-hmm. in my body. Mm-hmm. Or if I'm being nice to her, I'm, like, performing or tapping into literal some higher being who's like, hey, like, you can do this. You can, like, you know what I mean? I'm making her sound like such a monster, but, like, and she's not. She's honestly worked so hard and, like, had the shittiest, hardest life ever, like, I would not be alive if I lived her life. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, I have compassion for that. But then I also am like, we grew up in fear of her, for sure.
Yeah.
She was like a source of fear and like anxiety. And like, we were always lying to her. Like, our relationship is based on lies. My relationship with her is based on lies, but it's like, that's not just because I'm gay. Like, my siblings' relationships are also based on lies.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. There's no, like, open, honest, sincere dialogue. And I used to wonder if any, like, Muslim people had that with their parents. Mm-hmm. I still wonder, because I've never met one who does. Mm-hmm. I have not met any. I really used to wonder about that. Like, yeah. Like, does it exist? Mm-hmm. I have not met a Muslim person whose parents and them have, like, a sincerely open, honest relationship, yeah. where they can be their whole true self,
yeah.
around their parents. Mm-hmm. It's so, like, based on performing and, like, upholding and maintaining whatever, like, honor or, like, not even honor really anymore because I live in Canada, but like whatever weird, like, it's just so above, like, the surface, mm-hmm. of like relationship. Mm-hmm. Like, I never learned how to have a relationship with somebody from my family because, like, you, like, talk about the weather, you, like, talk about the whatever, you, like, but you don't talk about, like, your fears and your, like, real stuff, like, bad stuff. Like, I wish my mom would, like, reveal, her shame or, like, her, like, the shitty things she's done to other people that she feels, like, bad about, that she, like, grew from. Mm-hmm. Like, I wish that Muslim parents didn't have to present themselves as these, like, perfect pillars, mm-hmm. that they could just, like, be human and we could, like, see humanity in them, because we do anyway. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't look at my mom and be like, you're a perfect person, even though she's, like, she's not trying to present herself as perfect, but, like, she's not, she doesn't present, like, the ugliness. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm in recovery, and, like, one of the main things is, like, that helps me and, like, that I learn from and that I value in relationships now is, like, people who can show you their, like, ugliness and their darkness and be like, I have fucked up. I have fucked up millions of times. Like, these are the ways I've fucked up. Like, you know what I mean? That's what helps you grow, or that's what helps me grow. That's what helps me, like, feel okay about fucking up and not just, like, spiral in shame. Mm-hmm. Where, like, yeah, I don't know anything bad my mom ever did. Mm-hmm.
That she told you, at least you know other ways.
I know. She's done things to me. Like, yes. She's hurt me.
Yes.
But she's never spoken them. Yeah. She doesn't speak her, like, ugliness.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She can't own it.
Yeah.
And I find that not good. I don't want to have that quality.
Yeah. Because it's kind of hard to connect, it sounds, when the other person's not doing that.
Exactly. It's like you expect me to, like, be vulnerable. I feel like my mom expects me to tell her about my life, mm-hmm. and, like, be, like, forthcoming and, like, sit and, like, talk to her, and it's, like, so delusional because I'm like, you have not modeled that. Mm-hmm. Like, you have modeled, like, secrecy and, like, presenting a version of yourself. So, like, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
Like, where would that come from? And that can't be one ended, mm-hmm. you know? I feel like it's so present for me right now. Like, it used to not affect me. I used to be like, oh, it's fine. Like, it doesn't bother me. That's just how it is in Muslim families. Like, you know? Mm-hmm. But now, lately, like, as I get older, I'm just like, it's so frustrating to me. And it feels, like, suffocating, honestly. And, you know, I think that people who can't be... I think that queer people who can't be up to their parents have such a weird... occupy such a strange space because you love your parents, obviously, but your parents don't know you. For example, and I've never said this out loud, but, like, when my dad died, obviously, there's, like, immense amounts of, like, hurt and, like, you know, the feeling of loss and everything. But then I think that gay people have this weird, almost, like, there's a freedom when their parents die, which, like, makes me feel really guilty, like, that I'm, like, I obviously don't want my parent to die or be dead, but I also can't deny the fact that, like, that changes my experience on the planet, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know if... other people experience that kind of weird relationship. I'm sure people do. like a weird relationship to their parents' deaths. I'm sure people do, people who've like have different kinds of relationships with their parents, but I think when you're a person who can't be out to your parent, like, I think I read something where there was a queer filmmaker who talked about that, how like when his dad died it was like very complicated feeling because now he could like make films. But it's like, you know, you're almost freed in their death, which is like a very like not easy, like that's not an easy reality or truth, I guess. Like I think about that a lot. I think about, and that was something that came up too in the letter, like all the art that I want to make or like all the like writing and things I want to do. I don't think you can make good art without telling the truth, you know? So, and like that's just my truth. Like I can't write from any other gaze, you know? So, and I don't want to tell any other stories. Like, so it's like a very, it's like a very complicated position, you know?
Yeah. And what about, you know, getting an apology from her? Is that within the realm of what's possible?
I don't think it's impossible because she wouldn't give me an apology. I think it's impossible because I wouldn't reveal to her that I wanted one. You know?
Can you say more? That's so interesting.
Like, again, like, I just have this need to, like, protect her and make her feel like she didn't do anything wrong and, like, put it all on myself and, like, you know, asking her for an apology would require, like, making her carry her harms that she did to me, which I just think would, like, actually end up making me feel worse, like, more guilty. She's, like, really and truly already carrying so much. Like, my mom couldn't, for example, come and do this, project, you know? Like, she, like, one of my friends said to me recently, because I had a conflict with somebody and they, like, hurt my feelings, and she was like, you know, sometimes if you're the person who has more tools, you just have to, like, use those tools and not, like, respect another person's capacity. And I think for my mom, like, that's just, like, I can talk to one of my best friends. I can go to therapy. I can, like, have meaningful relationships with people, and, like, I can, like, experience art. I can, like, do all these things that I don't think my mom can do. And so it's, like, better for me to just, like, do those things than to, like, bring her, like, another layer of, like, pain, I guess. Because she, like, already, is, like, has so much. And I know that she does have, like, a lot of guilt. Yeah. Yeah, I feel like it's just better for me to, like, not need that from her, you know?
Yeah, it's a very active decision, it sounds, yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
What would it mean to you, though, if Mom were able to offer? Would it matter in some way?
I definitely think it would matter. It would be like, it's like, it's hard for me to conceive of it because I think that it's so beyond the realm of like possibilities for me, like, especially because so much of the letter is about being gay, like, that's never going to happen. So it's hard for me to even imagine. Imagine that, you know? Like, I can't even picture that.
Yeah.
But, like, it would definitely mean a lot, I think. Like, yeah.
But mom accepting you as a queer person would mean a lot. And is beyond what you can imagine.
It's beyond what I can conceive of. Yeah. So, like, it's not... It's like trying to describe a different color to me, yeah, you know?
That's fair.
Like, it's not... yeah, like, when I try to picture it, I just picture, like, awkwardness and, like... Which isn't acceptance. Like, I just picture... You know what I mean? Like, I can't even imagine what it would mean for... Mm-hmm. Or what it would feel like, so... Mm-hmm. Yeah... Yeah. Mm-hmm. I, like, never, ever think about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is fair.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah. Okay, so for this last part of the interview, I want to learn what messages you might have for the Muslim community.
Oh, my God.
Right? I know, it's a big one.
That's a big question.
It's a big one, right? But it certainly, it sounds like, you know, and as you so poignantly have made the point, it's not even about mom, it's this... wider community, yeah, that she's a part of.
Yeah.
So, number one, what would you say, you know, as a child who's been, you know, emotionally injured by your parent,
mm-hmm,
what do you have to say to the Muslim community about that? Like, what mm-hmm could have been done better or differently?
Mm-hmm. I think that in the Muslim community, there's so much emphasis on, like, respecting your parents mm-hmm no matter what. And your parents never being wrong. And your parents being these, like, infallible beings. And I think that that causes a lot of harm.
Yeah.
I think that if Muslim parents could see their kids as whole people, people with, like, personalities and tastes and, like, desires that exceed their dream for what they think that kid should be, I think that they would cause a lot less harm. And I think that if they truly believed in God and in a higher power who is perfect and doesn't make mistakes, then they could be less concerned with trying to control their kid and trying to control who their kid is and who their kid will be, and more, like, approaching their child with curiosity and wanting to learn who their kid is rather than trying to, like, make who their kid is, you know? Because, like, ultimately that child just, like, passes through you and it doesn't, like, belong to you. Even in Islam, like, all people belong to God. Like, all people are, like, beings of God, like, God's creations. And so by nature are all perfect no matter what they believe or do or who they love or whatever. I think that if Muslim parents could, like, be more open-minded about that, like, they would cause a lot less harm if they could, yeah, see their kids as whole. Will that ever happen? I don't think so, but
like, while we're dreaming,
right? Yeah.
But I think what's so interesting, what you said, you made it actually like a matter of your faith.
Mm-hmm.
If you really believe these things,
mm-hmm,
right? In practice, this is what would look like. There's a misalignment
mm-hmm
in the practice and what you sort of claim to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So interesting.
Yeah. I really do feel that way. I feel like if you, yeah, if you really believed in God and believed that God was perfect and that we all come from God, we all return to God, then you would have a much easier time raising a kid and accepting their imperfections and accepting their mistakes rather than, like, trying to control them and trying to, like, fashion them and, like, push down certain parts of them or change certain parts of them or, like, make them be a certain way. You could just be like, wow, isn't that beautiful that God made this perfect person? That they're so different from me. Like, what? Think of all of the things I could have taught my mom, you know, if she, like, knew me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's, like, a huge loss for her, you know? Like, I think that at the beginning of your life, like, your parents teach you things, and, like, as you get older, you teach your parents. And, like, when you can't accept your kid, like, you lose out on these lessons that maybe God put in your kid for you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's definitely a misalignment for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, such a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Is that loss felt on your part too?
I think so. Like, I definitely just got really emotional thinking about it.
Yeah.
Because I've never thought about that mm-hmm. way before.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that it's, like, really hard to to, like, see such, like, beauty in the world and to, like, experience the world in such, like, a special way and to, like, have such a, like, I know that I have, like, I know that people really love me and, like, and feel impacted by, like, me and, like, who I truly am. And I think that it's, like, sad that I can't be that around my mom. Like, I do think that's a loss. Like, I think, you know, there's so many things, like, I could help her with that I, like, want to help her with. But because I can't get past the, like, because it's so hard for me to get past the, like, resentment towards her, it just, like, makes me this uglier version of myself when I'm around her, and she doesn't get to see, like, all of the actual beauty, like, in my life and that, like, surrounds my life.
So I want to wrap us up.
Okay.
So here I'm sort of curious to know what, again, just overall, what the experience was like. What would you say to another person who's thinking about maybe doing a similar activity?
I think it was definitely worthwhile. I would definitely recommend it to somebody who's thinking about doing it. I think it'll take me, like, a little bit of time to, like, actually process, like, how I feel about my mom. But I think that overall I feel better for having done it than not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I came to some, like, I guess, like, revelations within myself that I hadn't thought about before.
Mm-hmm.
And now, like, after talking to you, I do feel like I have been authentically witnessed, where when mm-hmm. I just, like, read the letter, I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I definitely think it's something that could be beneficial for people
mm-hmm.
to do.
Can I ask you, in the aftermath of that authentic witnessing, right? How are you? What was it like?
Scary.
Yeah.
I was like, I can tell she knows I'm about to cry. But I guess I'm kind of proud of myself.
Mm.
Yeah, I still feel like a bit guarded, and I was like, okay, you know, not gonna like really all the way cry, but I feel I don't know how I feel. I feel seen, and I think that that's not that common for me, maybe. Or that's not that, like, regular, something that happens regularly. Yeah, it feels like a small victory, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
A hard-fought one, though, because it took a lot, right?
Yeah.
To
get there.
Get there, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Project Apology is brought to you by the Tessalit Institute. It was recorded and edited by me, Arij Elmi, featuring music by Blue Dot Sessions. Thank you for listening.